Happy Tuesday. Today is May the 11th of 2021. This is the 130th day in the year 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
There remains 234 more days. Not too late. Get your COVID vaccine shot. I know you've been telling yourself, I'm going to get the shot, and every time you want to go get it, you say, nah, I don't think so. I made it this far, so I'm not going to get that shot, right? Get your COVID vaccine. If you had your one shot, go get your second shot. Don't be like I was. I was like, I'm not going to get the second one. I'm not going back. But you need your total vaccination. You need the effect of both. Okay. Now, my name is Linda Sims. The name of this show is called A Voice of a People. I am here live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app, call TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in if you want to be a part of the conversation. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments, that phone number for here is 740-383-9944. And when you call in, you are also live. Okay? Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC. He's located at 1325 North Main Street. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We have also Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce, June the 19th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please take advantage of this opportunity. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, telephone 740-262-0939. Now, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it is titled, Letting Go of Sorrow, and it goes like this. If I allow bitterness and resentment to fester inside, it will make my relationships guarded and unsatisfying. The more I close down to others, the more I become a stranger to myself. By letting go of sorrow and negativity, I can keep my nature open and loving. Remaining open to life with its constant adventures and opportunities to grow is the only way to reach my full potential. Now I will turn my attention to my guest today.
Hi.
Jeff Porter.
What's going on?
Author of Expressions of the Last Days.
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see you.
You know, something did come to mind.
It did?
As I was thinking today. You know, I've run into so many people. I used to hand out tracts, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, at other times, I was teaching a class on Bible prophecy. And people would immediately, as soon as I started teaching, they would start asking, well, is it absolutely necessary that we understand Bible prophecy, we understand Revelation and everything, because they're scared of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, it doesn't do any good to stick your head in the sand.
No.
Because stuff's happening this very day that points in that direction. It points in the direction of the world going into turmoil and tribulation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people don't want you to go into the subject, you know. They're absolutely terrified of it. I think Bible prophecy is important because it helps you understand the rest of the Bible too, you know.
Yeah.
It was prophecy that predicted the coming of Christ.
Oh yeah.
You know, all of the prophets that talked about Revelation and stuff also talked about the coming of Christ beyond Malachi, you know,
right,
and the starting of Matthew. So, it, like I said, turning a blind eye towards it, it's not going to help, you know.
No. And like you said, the importance of it, why do you think it's so important?
Well, you know, I was driving down Delaware Avenue the other day out there in front of Harding Memorial was a bunch of people. They had a sign up that said freedom and not tyranny. And so I've seen them. Yeah, we've all probably seen them out there before, you know. I thought, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go back, park. I'm going to go down there and find out, talk to them for a little bit, you know. Find out what they believe. And when I got there, I found out that they believe basically the same thing as most conservatives, you know, and believe that our government is split wide open and that we need to change things from the liberalism to the conservative point of view. But I asked him while I was standing there, I said, you know, we've got all these things going on these days. I said, beyond that, I said, do you think Bible prophecy or do you believe we're in the last days, you know? He said, no, I don't think so. He said, I grew up in a Christian home and that's all I heard when I was growing up is that we're in the last days and, you know, nothing has happened so far. I said, I didn't argue with them. I just wanted to know what they thought, you know. But that is the opinion of a lot of people, you know. If you're bringing up Bible prophecy, as a matter of fact, when that first interview I did with this radio station with Scott, there was a guy in there that was absolutely hostile towards the message of Bible prophecy. You know, he said, "Oh, we're not in the last days. That's just a scare tactic. You know, you're trying to get people to buy your book. You know,
and well, stuff like that too."
Yeah, I said. You know, and the Bible actually says in 2 Peter that there would be those in the last days who would scoff at where they say, where is the promise of his coming? And I'm not sure that some of these people would really like it if his second coming came right now.
Well, I'm glad you said that because when you read in Revelation, when Christ does crack that sky and he does appear, mm-hmm. he comes with 10,000s of his saints, they go toward him to fight against him.
Yeah.
So evidently, no, they're not looking forward to him coming
no.
back.
No. And so they don't want to believe that he is coming back, at least not right now, you know. And how many people have you talked to that said it's not going to happen in my lifetime?
A lot of people. And you hear of some who say, well, I hope I'm alive when it does, you know, when it does happen, like Paul Crouch on Trinity Broadcasting. And I hope I'm alive when it happens, too, you know, but time is moving on, and you and I both are getting older, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My auntie, she lived to be 100, almost 101 years old. She was hoping to also,
mm-hmm.
but she's gone on, you know, so no man knows the day nor the hour.
That's right.
Only the Father, not even the Son, he claims he doesn't know. So we have to trust his word and believe his word. So whenever it happens, it's going to happen. But see, this is what bothers me. Christians mm-hmm. don't even believe, who consider themselves Christians.
Yeah.
They don't even believe that there was a flood. That Noah's flood covered the entire,
really?
The entire.
Oh yeah,
earth.
I've heard that theory before. That
you know,
it was,
it's just a part of it. It wasn't the entire earth, you know, and it even covered the highest mountain.
Yeah.
That exists, you know, and then they.
So how could it be just in one area then?
Right.
You know.
That's a lot of rain.
That's a lot of water.
And big as that boat was, it had to be a lot of water to even move it.
Yeah. It's huge.
Because it had never rained before. There was a mist that would come up from the ground every day and water or furbish the earth for the vegetation.
There wasn't any such thing as rain.
No such thing. Now, a lot of people do not believe that this event even happened. They don't believe it.
Well, you know, I think one of the most convincing things is you ever be digging in your garden or digging in your backyard and you pick up rocks that have seashells in them, You ever seen that?
Yes, I have.
So, well, how did that happen? And you get that all over the world.
All over the world. Even in Marion, I've seen that. You know, where you have seashells and these different kind of rocks, and you don't really know where they came from. And absolutely, you're right.
And I said, you know, that I was an atheist for a long time. That always rattled me, finding seashells in the rocks right in your own backyard, like in Fair Park or something, you know.
Right.
Or far from the oceans or far from Lake Erie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or any lake that might have produced seashells like that. Little tiny seashells.
Right, tiny ones. You're right.
And they have said that they scientists have found, archaeologists have found fossils of fish way, way up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. With food like even in their mouths. With food still in their mouths.
Yeah.
So where did that come from? How did that happen? It had to be something suddenly that happened. For them to be
and
fossilized.
And they find these all over the world.
Right.
Up in the mountains. Way, way up in the mountains. Fish. You know.
But, you know, they don't. Some people just will not buy that.
Well, you know, I was listening to a couple of atheists on the internet a while back on YouTube. And it just seems to me that no matter what evidence has shown them. And I don't believe, and I used to worry about that, oh no, you know, people are not going to be convinced by empirical scientific evidence. But there was a couple of people at work like that that they weren't going to believe no matter what evidence you showed them because they just don't want to.
Did they consider themselves Christians or
no.
born-again believers?
No, this guy was an agnostic, I guess, you know.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is like, I told him years ago when we were talking, I said, there's no evidence for evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost none.
Right.
And yet, these evolutionists and atheists and people that want to believe in evolution continue to believe in it, even though you can't find any intermediate life forms, you know, fossil forms out there. Well, if evolution were true, you would have to find billions times billions of these fossil forms, you know?
Well, they say Darwin didn't even believe in evolution, but everybody else bought it. Why was that? Why do you think that was?
Why did they buy it?
Yeah, why did they believe it?
Because, you know, they think every time a scientist barks, you know, they have to believe it.
Really?
That's one of the reasons. So, you know, he's a big expert in this.
And many of those people, believe it or not, were Christians or called themselves Christians.
Well, there's a major bunch of Christians who believe in evolution these days.
And don't you consider that turning from the faith?
Yeah, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and they hate apologetics, a lot of them. I started to teach a class one time. Me and Rick Sprinkle were teaching a class at the Nazarene Church, and what we were doing was we were equipping people to become leaders. And it included a section on apologetics. And some of the subjects I brought up, they were absolutely hostile.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why is I never was too keen on Promise Keepers. I thought Promise Keepers had some serious problems in their doctrines and beliefs, and plus they were plugged right into the prosperity movement. You know, they just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
All those people on TBN, Kenneth Copeland, and all them that believed totally in prosperity. And you couldn't, how dare you criticize the all-powerful Promise Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
But I say organizations, people who are preaching, especially on TV and radio, we should scrutinize them. We should check what they're saying and what they're preaching and what they're writing against the Word of God. And find out if they're telling the truth about things, and not just sit there and go, "Oh, he's on TV. Well, he must know what he's talking about." You know, that's how the Antichrist ends up taking over.
Isn't that what the Galatians did? Didn't they search the scriptures daily to make sure
the Bereans
to make sure what they was hearing was in the scriptures, because that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Scriptures is God's truth. You know, and if we do not take the time to check what we hear, then we're led astray.
It takes too much time and effort, you know. People are so busy, busy, busy these days. They don't have time.
But it's our fault. We can't say, well, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't have time
to
look it up, you know. It's going to be too late.
Well, you know, if you didn't have time and you lost your soul over it.
Right.
Then you better make time. You know, at some time or other. I think they have time. They just don't.
Of course.
They don't bother with it.
You just have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like praying for people. And they'll say, well, pray for me. I pray right there. I pray the Lord bless and take care of you or heal you, whatever they need, you know. Because when I get home, I've forgotten all about it.
Yeah. A lot of times. Or I'll pray right after.
Right.
You know.
Right.
If they want me to pray for them. That's the best thing to do is pray right then. So I do that a lot. I forget. But we can't forget to be diligent and be seeking the truth about this. We're talking about eternity.
Yes, we are talking about eternity.
Where are you going to spend eternity?
Right. Absolutely.
And my mom's 97. She's in a nursing home right now. And looks like she's starting to pass. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if you're on your deathbed there, usually when you're on your deathbed, you know, you're not able to comprehend too good anything, you know. And that's the way it is with her. She can't comprehend. She can't talk. You know, she's just sleeping all the time and not eating. And I say, you know, this is not a good time to try to convert to Christ because you're just not there. You're not with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so a lot of people think they're going to, they know Christ is the truth and they think they're going to repent on their deathbed.
Yeah.
You know, what if you don't have a deathbed to repent on? You
That's
know,
true.
What if you get run over by a
not.
Truck?
Right. And a lot of people have not, just like you're saying, death can come suddenly.
Yeah.
Unaware.
And so I think a lot of people, I believe that we're going to have to face the tribulation that's coming now. We're going to have to face it pretty soon. You know.
That's another thing. You know, they don't want to believe the flood. They don't want to believe that Jesus is coming back, but they believe they're going to heaven.
Yeah. you know, sometimes I think they think that grace makes everything so easy. You know, and
it doesn't give us license to sin, God forbid.
No, but you know, the Christian walk is not just difficult, it's impossible. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to make it.
Absolutely. You know? It's impossible without Christ.
That's right.
Impossible. He says, unless you abide in me and I abide in you, without me you can do nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. You can't even get up out of bed in the morning.
So if they're not going to believe in the flood, and a literal flood, and they're not going to believe in healing, and they're not going to believe in the outpouring of baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what do you believe? I mean, what bother getting up in the morning and going to church? You know?
I think
just listen to a dead sermon.
I think a lot of people or men have decided they're their own God.
Yeah.
They go their own way. They make their own future, you know?
Well, that's what the prosperity message preaches. You are gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And I would hate to make a claim like that. I'm a god.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, what if somebody challenges you? Well, say what?
Like God himself.
He's
the one that would challenge you.
But talk about an antichrist belief system.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's something that the Antichrist would love, is have everybody believing they're little gods.
Well, when I think about Pharaoh in Egypt, he thought he was a god.
Yeah.
He thought he was a god, and he told Moses, who is this god you're talking about? I don't know him.
Yeah. And yet they would worship these gods of the dark depths, you know, a dark lord of the darkness of death or something.
Right. Right.
And but yet could claim themselves to be gods.
Oh yeah.
Oh, kind of confusing.
It is. It is. And you know, some gentleman said on I I forget what I was watching, and he said, this is the most confusing time for Christians, and he hasn't seen so many Christians confused as he has today.
Mm-hmm.
They're confused because they have picked up so many things and put them in their spirit.
And because the church has fallen away.
Ah.
Now, here is one of the biggest signs of the end. That is the apostasy of the church.
Yes, the great falling away. You're right.
And it's hard to tell people when you get next to them, they go, yes, I go to church, but where you go to church is very, very important.
Right.
You know,
and why are you going to church? Are you going to church because you think that's going to get you into heaven?
Yeah.
Your attendance? Your attendance will not get you into heaven, right?
See, they don't understand that.
No. Paying your tithes doesn't get you into heaven.
No. Nothing does except for believing in Christ, right. Accepting Him into your heart.
Visiting the sick does not.
Helping senior citizens across the street.
Does not get you into heaven. It just does not get you there.
Even if you give your body over to flames.
It does not get you there.
No.
Does not.
Because we are saved by grace and by faith.
Yes. It does not get you there. So, we're just going over some things as far as the end of time and...
Well, there was this guy I saw on YouTube, too. He will go down the street and ask people that question. Do you believe you're going to heaven? And they'll say, yes, I believe I'm going to heaven. Why do you believe you're going to heaven? Because I'm a good person.
Doesn't matter how good you are. There are no good people. Is that right?
The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how do you get rid of the sin? Just doing good works?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a good guy. I give money to the poor. You know, I go to church. That's about it.
And that's true. And there are some people just in church for that reason, thinking that will get them into heaven. Then I heard a guy say, even saying the sinner's prayer does not get you there.
Not if you, if you don't believe it sincerely in your heart, you know. You're not really, I know a lot of people, they don't get saved because they don't believe Jesus is the truth. They believe Jesus is the truth.
Okay.
They don't want his authority in their life and in their heart. They want to do what they want to do.
Yeah. You know, that kind of makes sense.
It does. I know a couple of people, you know, that said, you know, I was trying to convince them that the Bible is accurate because of Lee Strobel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have some of his videos. And I say, now that you've watched Lee Strobel and he showed you that the Bible is accurate, what do you think? And they said, well, it might be, but I just don't want to be a Christian. I had some of them say that.
You know. Well, what they call us, Holy Ghost rollers and, you know, hypocrites. What else? There's another negative terminology for Christians, you know, or people who consider themselves believers in Christ Jesus, believing that he came from heaven and walked this earth, you know, and saw many and saved many and rose many from the dead. He suffered and he bled and he died on the cross.
But they think the people that believe in the gospel are very stupid.
Oh.
That they're anti-intellectual. And actually, through the years, the tradition with Christianity and intellectualism has been overdone sometimes, you know. There's so many Christians who have gone through seminary and all that, and they've become historians and, you know, mathematicians and scientists and stuff.
Let me ask you this question, since people think that there's going to be, the church is going to be gone, there's going to be another billion people created after the church leaves. People are supposed to be marrying and giving in marriage, and there's going to be this great multitude that will receive Christ after the church is gone. And when Christ comes back, those are the ones that's supposed to be lifted up.
Well, they come back.
What do you think about that?
They come back with Christ.
I'm not talking about that.
You're not talking about that?
No, because the saints are supposed to come back with Christ. But people are saying that in Revelation, where it says there's a multitude that no man can number, which mm-hmm. you and I know, then read that scripture before, and saying that the church is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now these other people have another chance to be saved.
Well, the big theory about... You talking about pre-tribulation rapture?
I must be. That's what they're talking about. Think so.
The theory is that a certain amount of certain people are taken out. Everybody that's truly born again is taken out. And the 144,000 mm-hmm. Jews that are left behind on the earth get saved.
That's right.
And then they evangelize the earth.
Right, preach to other people.
Right.
That's left after the rapture.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I suppose that's possible. But, the scriptures that they point out for this theory are vague. You know, not really that strong on the subject, I don't think.
Because I was always taught or always believed that once the church was gone, that was it. If you didn't go up with them, then you're not going up. So, and they're trying to say
they're saying that you still have a chance through that 144,000. If they preach to you and you believe it, you could still be saved, but you're still going to face the tribulation. So what I like to say is, you know, if you look in read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of saints here during that time. Now, that I guess that's where they had to come from. Was
but how is that? Where did those saints come from if the rapture supposedly had taken the saints with it?
Well, 144,000 supposed to have preached to them. But do you realize how long that would take? It would take a lot more than 144,000.
And not only
people
that,
to preach the gospel to the world.
Now, am I wrong or am I right with this? The Holy Spirit is supposed to be gone off the earth after the rapture. So how are people getting saved?
Well, it's very sketchy as to whether the Holy Spirit... I don't think the Holy Spirit ever leaves this world. He's still here doing his work, I believe. They say that because of certain scriptures, like there come a day when no man can work, you know.
And my spirit shall not always strive with man.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit won't be here. I don't think so.
And where does this scripture come from? He that endures till the end shall be saved.
That's in Matthew 24.
Yes, it is. I mean, but... what is that saying? What does that mean? He that endures until the end. The end of what?
In other words, you know, what would they think? The people that believe in pre-tribulation rapture would probably say he that endures. In other words, the people that are still here, they get saved maybe, or people who endure till the rapture happens, I guess. But to me, it means he that endures to the end of the tribulation.
The end of all things?
Yeah.
Just about, yeah.
So to people it's a great relief to believe in the rapture because now I don't have to face tribulation, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you do have to face it and you've been ignoring all the scriptures about it, all the preaching about it? Why do they? Another thing I'd like to ask is, why do they even preach about Revelation if they're not going to be here? Why bother?
Yeah, why did God leave it for us?
Yeah,
a lot of preachers won't touch it.
Well,
they'll touch certain little pieces of it, and that's about it.
I don't know. A lot of churches have cut out hell and the lake of fire too.
Yeah, they don't
want to offend anybody.
Right.
I remember I was going through the line one time at Bob Evans, and there's the guy ahead of me was a preacher, you know, and he said something about God.
Right.
And all of a sudden he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you," you know, to the cash register clerk. She was like, yeah, she could have seen the look on her face like, "You're supposed to be a preacher, aren't you supposed to talk about God?"
Right.
You know, but it's, "Oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings talking about God."
Wow. Mm-mm-mm.
Really, here are people in third world countries being cut down and shot and tortured for their faith, and there are people here going around like tiptoe through the tulips.
Oh, yeah.
Christianity, you know. Yeah. No, we can't talk about Christianity. We might offend somebody, you know.
Well, how can you compel other people to come in before that great day? Before it's too late.
You just witness to him as the Holy Spirit leads you.
Well, I'm talking about the ones you just mentioned. They don't want to talk about Christ. Why do they think they were saved, or are they saved?
Well, you know, somebody before you had to preach that gospel
to you,
to people that were at that time were very stubborn,
right?
You know, and that was one of the biggest reasons why the Pilgrims came to America, because they were facing persecution in England. And they came here to get away from that, to start a new life here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they built their churches here in America. Mm-hmm. So America's really built on the gospel.
Yeah.
You know.
It was built on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was built on
I'm not sure I'd want to be with that first crowd. A lot of them starved to death and died, and the exposure and all that was very difficult. Well, at least they were friends with the Indians at first.
It's hard to say what was going through their minds when they came over here. But it is what it is. And they went through territory after territory, gaining more and more land. So,
yep.
Pushing the Indians back, way back. Way back. You know,
well,
so.
Well, there's a lot of different ways of looking at that. I mean, you know. I think the Indians became hostile, and they had to fight them or leave.
Well, yeah, you come. We were here first. You're going to take over what we have? You know what I'm saying? What are we supposed to do? Just roll over and play dead? And maybe some of them did. I don't know, but, you know, to conquer and to be conquered is, it's been a part of history.
Yeah,
you know,
sure has.
I've been watching... Even when Moses was, you know, going to the promised land, he sent Joshua and Caleb over there to spy it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they said there were giants over there, and they brought back that huge cluster of grapes, where it took two men to bring back one cluster of grapes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? And they said there were giants there.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
There's always giants.
They had to go
the
fight. Yeah, God said that's our land, and we got to go take it.
Yeah.
So, war started.
War has always been with us, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, war, and that's new, Old Testament. Joshua's what, the sixth book?
It's the way the Old Testament is, yeah.
Yeah, sixth book. So, I've been watching the series, Promised Land, and they just defeated Jericho.
Yeah.
Now they're going to Ai, the country Ai, so... They're sending their spies over there to spy that out. So
they talk a lot about Jericho because of the archaeological finds.
Really?
You know, and yeah, and, you know, the archaeologists have gone there and have found that wall and everything. It's got blast marks on it and stuff, you know. And but somebody, the government, put up a sign that says this is not... a movement of God and all that. Very much defied the Bible, this sign, you know. This is not of God. But it's funny that they found Jericho.
Yeah.
You know, and they found, you know, like going to Jerusalem, they found Solomon's stables.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all kinds of horse hitchings and posts and stuff, you know.
Right, right, right.
So there's been a tremendous amount of the stuff found in Israel.
Oh, yeah.
To support the Old Testament. But, of course, you got your skeptics that say, nah. Well, they'll say, nah, no matter what evidence
that's
is
true.
Found.
That's true. And you have to look over people like that who really don't know
what
they're talking about. And, you know, one time I wanted to be an archaeologist.
Yeah, that would be a fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't you pursue that?
I don't know.
Just never did.
No, just never did. But, you know, a lot of things... came up in my mind that I wanted to do. And
me too.
And it baffles me when you ask some young people, what do you want to be? I don't know. I said, I wanted to be so many things.
Yeah. I wanted to be a scientist
when
I was in school. Yeah.
Okay.
But I know I didn't really think, you know, later on, I didn't think I had the capacity to be a scientist.
Right,
know?
Right.
I don't think that's the direction God wanted me to go, but I was, it started out with the idea of searching for truth. That was my interest in science at the beginning, you know.
Right.
I want to find out what makes the world tick, you know, what makes the universe tick. That was my fascination with it. That's how I ended up getting saved.
All right.
Just kept searching and searching until I found God.
Yes, amen. That song says, I kept on searching till I found him, the King of Kings. Yeah.
I talked to a few people that got saved that way. If you keep searching, you'll find him.
And he tells you that in the scripture. When you seek for me with your whole heart,
you shall find me.
Yes.
Knock and the door shall be opened.
Yes. Yes. Ask and it shall be given. It is so true. It is so true.
Now, sometimes you get kind of sidetracked when you're searching because you don't know what to believe, and you get caught up in a cult or in some kind of doctrine, some weird doctrine or something. But eventually,
you know why I think that is? So when you see the truth, you'll know the difference.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll know
that's
the
very,
difference.
Very, very true.
Just like I studied with Jehovah's Witness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he showed me the difference, I knew that was
bogus.
Wrong. It was bogus. It wasn't going to get me where I needed to go.
Well, you know, you talk to them about either, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are the most common around here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they teach people to stay away from that born-again stuff. You know, don't believe that born-again stuff, you know.
Right, right.
Wonder why that is.
I don't know. But you have to be a new creature. You cannot be the same old creature thinking that you're going to be saved, thinking that you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
Thinking that you have made a change. What change have you made?
You can't make that change.
No.
God has to change your heart.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Absolutely. Wow.
Jesus said in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you can't comprehend that when you're unsaved. I remember people saying that. I had no idea what it meant.
Mm-mm. No, you know, we're saved and being saved every day. Every day.
The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Unto salvation.
So we can come to the foot of the cross.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. I was just thinking today, again, when he told me, it's a beautiful day to be alive. I've seen so many people perish, so many people leave, so many friends, and you know, that I've known over the years, and close, some just distant, but close as far as friendship is concerned, and
I can't believe that some of my relatives are gone.
You know,
never think of that when you're growing up, you know. These people might die. You never think that. You know. You think they're going to live forever.
Yes, you do.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not.
No, they're not. Nor are we.
Nope.
Because death is inevitable.
But who wants to stay in this world anyways? As a Christian, this is not my home.
No, and he tells us that.
Yeah.
That's why Paul said, I had to die daily. So if I'm dying daily, then it won't be no problem for me when the time comes.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That's right.
And that's dying to the things of this world. Yeah, dying to the things of this world. These are the things that get us caught up. The riches of this world, the lust of this world, things that's going on, you know.
It entices us to sin.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what kills us.
Yeah, you're right. And there's no way back once you're gone.
I thought about that, how weird this world is. And you sometimes wonder, when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, why did God create this world?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was to have a bunch of people that have volunteered to come to him on their own in a world that is hostile to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're willing to put up with a world that's hostile to Christ and go on and follow him anyways, See, you're going to end up in heaven.
That's true. Didn't I think about how the devil got kicked out of heaven, down to the earth?
Yeah.
You know, and was this before Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
So he was here when Adam and Eve got here.
Yeah.
So I guess there was a bet on the table, just like Job. Must have been a bet on the table, you know. He had made Adam and Eve perfect in his image and likeness. There was no sin in them.
That's right.
When they were created, you know. And I bet the devil said, or God said, do you see my son Adam and my daughter Eve? You know, because iniquity was found in the devil, and he was trying to take over heaven and got kicked out.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to ascend to the sides of the north.
Yeah.
Which means he was going to ascend to God's throne.
Yeah.
I don't think he had the nerve to actually say that.
Woo!
You know.
He did. Said it, though. Isaiah 14.
Yeah.
He said it.
I'll do this and I'm going to do that.
I will ascend
to the sides of
the... It was five eyes, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a pretty fascinating scripture.
It is very fascinating.
Because it gives you just a little bit of a glimpse into what was going on during that time. Of course, we can't comprehend heaven sitting here in this world.
No, we can't comprehend that. Like David says, it's too high. I can't attain it. You know, I can't reach it. I can't even imagine it. And we can't. But I would want to think that if I was God's most beautiful creation,
yeah, that's, you know,
I would
a lot
be
of times,
okay with it, God being God. You know.
I can't imagine somebody that's got it made like that in heaven. Here he is, a powerful angel in heaven. And just leaving, you know, saying, I'm going to be God. And, you know, nobody could do that. I mean, you might as well just forget it, you know, trying to become God. I mean, well, that's what Mormons...
He's not going to have it, though. God's not going to have it.
No. And he's all powerful. So how are you going to do that?
All powerful, all knowing, know your thoughts from afar off. How are you going to get anything past him, the sovereign Lord?
I don't know. That's
he
a
tried,
good question.
Didn't he? Yeah. So I'm going to try. I'm going to try.
Now, a lot of people ask the question, why didn't God just destroy him? You know.
Well, you know, a lot of people now feel sorry for the devil. They feel sorry for him because he can't be saved.
No, he can't. He's going to do the best he can to take a bunch with him.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? I really think that... with the predictions of Antichrist and all that, the devil still believes he could win a battle with God.
Evidently, he's still trying.
Yeah.
Get as many people as he can. We're out of time.
We are.
Lo and behold, we are out of time. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
For coming. Thank you for the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Until next time. Be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
One of the big traditions for a lot of people on Thanksgiving is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, absolutely, and I was in it one year. I played Mother Goose.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, there was nothing to tell. I was dressed up like Mother Goose, and I was in this thing. And I must say, I had a secret little flask, because it was colder than a bear's ears. And I had a little nip of some good warm stuff occasionally. So I was a